Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, let's talk about health benefits, specifically prescription drug coverage. You know, when you get that huge packet every year, it feels like you need a decoder ring just to figure it out. But honestly, getting a handle on how your drug coverage works is, well, it's crucial for saving money. It really is.
It absolutely is. And look, that paperwork, it's often dense by design, right? So that's kind of why we're here today. We've gone through the source material to really boil it down.
Good.
We want to give you a clear guide to two main ideas: the prescription drug formulary and this tiered system that decides what you actually pay.
Essential stuff. Okay, let's define those right away. The formulary,
Yes.
the big list. Yeah.
That's it. The master list.
Yeah.
It's the official catalog of drugs your insurance plan actually agrees to help pay for. Sometimes they just call it the prescription drug list.
Simple enough, but if your medicine isn't on that list.
You've got a potential issue, a big one, maybe.
Okay. And the second part, the tiers.
Right, the tiered system.
Yeah.
So the formulary tells you if a drug is covered. The tier tells you how much you'll pay out of pocket. It's all about cost sharing.
Cost share. Okay.
Yeah, how much the plan covers versus how much you cover. Knowing your drug's tier, that's probably the most important piece for budgeting.
All right, so let's dig into this formulary thing a bit more.
Yeah.
A drug gets on the list, the plan helps pay, but how much you pay depends on its tier, like you said.
Exactly. And how it gets assigned to a tier, that's based on a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff,
Yeah.
deals the insurer makes. You know, it's all about leverage.
And cost control for them, I bet.
Totally. You often see terms like preferred and non-preferred. Preferred drugs, basically, are the ones the plan wants you to use. They're effective, sure,
Yeah.
but critically, they're cost-effective for the plan. They got a good price.
So if you pick a preferred drug, you get rewarded. Lower cost for you.
You got it. Lower out-of-pocket costs. Now, non-preferred drugs, they're still covered, usually. But the plan signaling, hey, this one's more expensive for us. Maybe there's a cheaper alternative. Maybe they just couldn't negotiate the price down as much.
And they pass that higher cost on to you.
Right. It's an incentive. They're trying to steer you towards the preferred options. Powerful tool for them.
Okay, so how do you pay your share? What forms does that take?
Well, the ideal is 100% coverage, right? Zero cost. Doesn't happen often.
Huh, yeah, tell me about it.
So mostly you're looking at two main ways you pay: copayment and coinsurance.
Copayment. That one seems straightforward. It's just a fixed amount.
Yep. Predictable. You know, it's $10 at the counter or maybe $45, whatever the plan set for that tier. It doesn't matter if the drug's actual price goes up or down, your copay stays the same.
Okay, that's manageable. But the other one, coinsurance. That sounds less predictable.
It can be. And this is where budgeting gets tricky. Coinsurance isn't a fixed dollar amount. It's a percentage of the drug's total cost.
A percentage. Okay, like.
So say your plan has 20% coinsurance for tier four drugs. If a drug costs, say, $500, your share is 20% of that, $100. Still sounds okay, maybe.
Maybe, but what if it's not a $500 drug? What if it's one of those really expensive ones?
Exactly. That's where it gets serious. Let's say you need a specialty drug, cutting-edge stuff, maybe $10,000 a month. Happens all the time. If your plan uses that same 20% coinsurance for that tier, suddenly you're paying $2,000 every single month.
Whoa. Unless you hit your out-of-pocket max, I guess.
Right, assuming you haven't hit that limit yet. But you see why plans like coinsurance for the really expensive drugs.
Yeah, it shifts the risk, a lot of the risk.
It's just a huge chunk of the cost for the priciest therapies right onto the patient. Minimizes the plan's financial exposure on those big ticket items. A fixed $100 copay versus 20% coinsurance on a $10 drug. That's a world of difference for your finances.
Okay, that absolutely highlights the stakes. So let's talk about what kinds of drugs actually fall into these different tiers. You mentioned a cost hierarchy.
Yeah, there's a definite pattern. And the golden rule is simple. Higher tier number almost always means higher cost for you.
Got it. So tier one, the bottom.
Tier one typically is where you find generic drugs. These are the backbone, really. The FDA confirms they have the exact same active ingredients as the brand name versions. Same safety, same effectiveness.
And they're cheaper because the original patent expired, right?
Yeah.
Competition comes in.
Exactly. Once the patent runs out, other companies can make it. That competition drives the price way down. So, tier one generics, lowest copay or coinsurance. Your plan definitely wants you using these if they're available. It saves everyone money.
Makes sense. So moving up, what's next?
Next up, usually, are the brand name drugs. These are the ones sold under a specific trademark name by the company that first developed them.
Like the famous name everyone knows.
Right. And here's the key thing for your wallet. even if there's a generic version available down in Tier 1 with the same active ingredient.
The brand name will cost more.
Almost always, yes. It'll be placed in a higher tier, maybe Tier 2 or Tier 3, reflecting that premium cost.
Okay, and then the top, the really expensive stuff you mentioned.
Yeah, the highest tier, Tier 4, Tier 5, sometimes even Tier 6 these days. This is typically where specialty drugs live.
Specialty? What defines those?
These are usually very high-cost medications for complex chronic conditions. Think things like multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, certain cancers, rare diseases.
All right.
They often need special handling, like refrigeration or special administration, maybe injections you get at a clinic. All that complexity, plus the high development cost, pushes them to the top tier. And that's where you usually see that high coinsurance kicking in. Now, it's important to understand just how common these tiered systems are. This isn't some niche thing. We looked at the KFF data, the Employer Health Benefit Survey for 2025.
Okay, what did it show?
Get this. 84% of workers with employer coverage are in plans with 3, 4, or even more tiers. It's the vast majority.
84%. So simple two-tier plans are rare now.
Increasingly so. And even more specific. 60%, that's two-thirds of people with employer plans, have 4 or more tiers.
Wow. So the 4-tier plan is actually the most common structure people are dealing with right now.
That's what the data shows. The system is definitely leaning towards more complexity, more granularity.
Why, though? Why make it so complicated?
Well, the thinking, or at least the rationale given, is that this complexity isn't just random. It gives the plan, and crucially, the pharmacy benefit managers, the PBMs.
Ah, the PBMs, the negotiators.
Right. It gives them more leverage. More tiers mean more ways to classify drugs and demand deeper discounts from the manufacturers. If a drug maker doesn't offer a good enough price,
they get put in a higher, less attractive tier, like non-preferred.
Exactly. They can create a preferred generic tier and a non-preferred generic tier. Same drug, basically, but different cost to you based on the deal the PBM struck. It builds financial hurdles for drugs that don't play ball on pricing.
Okay, so let's quickly map out these common structures. A 3-tier plan used to be standard. What's that typically look like?
Simpler times. Usually, Tier 1, generics. Tier 2, preferred brand name drugs. Tier 3, non-preferred brand name drugs, often including specialty.
Okay, but now the most common is the 4-tier plan. How does that break down?
It adds more separation.
Done.
So typically, Tier 1 is still your low-cost generics, often the preferred ones. Tier 2 might be higher-cost generics and preferred brand names.
Okay, mixing them up.
Yeah. Tier 3 gets more specific. Non-preferred brand name drugs, especially those that do have cheaper generic or preferred options available in lower tiers. It's a real penalty tier.
Right. Pay more if you don't choose the plan's favorite option.
Mm-hmm. And Tier 4 is generally reserved for the highest cost drugs, mostly specialty medications.
Okay. And you mentioned even more tiers. What about a 5-tier plan? That sounds incredibly detailed.
It is. This is where that preferred, non-preferred distinction gets applied to both generics and brands. It's maximum granularity.
Wow. Okay, walk me through that.
So, Tier 1, preferred generics, the cheapest of the cheap. Tier 2, non-preferred generics. Still generic, same active ingredient, but slightly higher cost to you.
Because of the deal or lack thereof.
Right. Tier 3, preferred brand name drugs. Tier 4, non-preferred brand name drugs. And then Tier 5, the highest cost stuff almost always includes specialty drugs.
So with a 5-tier plan, you really have to watch. Even the difference between two generics could cost you more.
Absolutely. That step from Tier 1 generic to Tier 2 generic might seem small, but the copay difference could be noticeable. And critically, remember this. These are just general models.
Right. Every plan is different.
Every single health plan writes its own rules, uses its own labels. Your plan might call Tier 5 specialty tier. Someone else's might call it Tier 5 high cost. You have to look at your own documents.
Absolutely crucial advice. Okay, let's tackle the scenario that probably causes the most panic. You go to the pharmacy, hand over your prescription, and they say, sorry, it's not covered. The not listed nightmare.
Yeah, that's a tough spot. If a drug your doctor prescribed isn't listed on any tier in your formulary, well, the default is it's not covered, period.
Meaning you pay everything.
Pretty much. You're likely looking at the full retail price out of pocket, and for some drugs, that's just unaffordable.
So what do you do right there at the counter?
Okay, first, deep breath, then immediate action. Call your doctor's office.
Right.
Right away. Ask them point blank. Is there a different medication, one that is on my plan's formulary, that would work for me?
Hope for an alternative.
That's the best first step. If they can switch you to something clinically appropriate that is covered, you could save yourself hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars.
And if there isn't a good alternative,
then you might need to see if there's any kind of manufacturer coupon or maybe a patient assistance program. Sometimes the insurer has a separate drug discount program, but don't count on it covering much. It might involve appeals, paperwork. It could be a fight.
Ugh. Okay, so even if a drug is on the list, especially the expensive ones, plans have other tricks up their sleeve, right? Gatekeepers?
They do. Ways to control access and cost, even for covered drugs. Two big ones you need to know about.
Let's hear them.
First is prior authorization. PA, you'll often see it noted.
Prior auth. I've heard horror stories.
It can be a major delay. Basically, your doctor prescribes the drug, but before the pharmacy can fill it and have the insurance pay, the doctor has to submit extra paperwork to the insurance company.
Proving you actually need it.
Exactly. Proving medical necessity according to the insurer's specific rules. It can hold up treatment for days, sometimes weeks, while the paperwork gets processed and approved. Or denied.
Frustrating when you just want to start feeling better. Okay, what's the second gatekeeper?
Step therapy. This one feels a bit backwards sometimes.
Step therapy, like climbing stairs.
Sort of. The plan requires you to try a lower cost drug first, usually a generic or preferred brand from a lower tier, before they'll agree to cover the more expensive drug your doctor initially prescribed.
Even if the doctor thinks the expensive one is better for me.
Yep. If there's a cheaper, clinically reasonable alternative on, say, tier 2, and your doc prescribes something similar on tier 4, the plan says you must try and fail the tier 2 drug first.
Fail it, meaning it doesn't work or I get bad side effects.
Right. Only after you've tried the cheaper option and it's proven unsuitable, then they might approve you to step up to the original, more expensive prescription.
That sounds purely like a cost-saving measure for the plan.
It largely is. Even if your doctor has a good reason for wanting the tier 4 drug first, step therapy can force you down a different path initially.
Okay, so PAs and step therapy, more hurdles. How do you find out about these before you're standing at the pharmacy counter?
Preparation is key. You need to get familiar with your formulary ahead of time. Seriously, don't wait until you're sick.
How? Where do you look?
Most insurers have online tools now. Log into your member portal on their website. There's usually a searchable drug list or formulary tool.
Okay.
Type in the names of any medications you take regularly or even ones you might need. The tool should show you the tier, whether it's covered, and importantly, if prior authorization or step therapy applies. It's usually right there.
That seems like the best bet. What if you're not tech savvy or still confused?
Good old-fashioned phone call. Look in the back of your insurance ID card. There should be a member services number, often one specifically for pharmacy benefits.
Ah, use the card.
Yep. Call them up. They can tell you the tier, the restrictions, and even your exact copay or coinsurance for each tier. Sometimes those amounts are even printed right on the card itself.
Good tip. And those big benefit packets.
You can review the summary of benefits and coverage, especially the prescription drug section that your employer provides during open enrollment. But honestly, that online tool or a phone call gives you the most current specific info. Being proactive is your best defense. So wrapping this up, what we're seeing is that formularies and these increasingly complex tiered systems, 4, 5, even 6 tiers now, are really the main levers plans use. They're trying to balance giving you access to medicines you need with their own very strong need to control costs.
And the reality is these multi-tiered plans are standard now, not the exception.
Exactly. 4 or more tiers is the norm for most people with employer coverage.
So the big takeaway here for you, the listener, is you really have to treat your formulary like required reading, like a map for your healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm.
Get familiar with your plan's specific structure, know the tiers, look out for those gatekeepers like prior auth and step therapy. It's honestly the best way to make informed choices, talk costs with your doctor beforehand, and manage those healthcare expenses.
Definitely check those plan documents, use the website tools, or call your insurer.
Yeah.
No, before you go to the pharmacy.
Right. And maybe a final thought to leave people with based on what we've discussed. We see these plans getting incredibly detailed, right? Mm. Especially that 5-tier model separating preferred generic from non-preferred generic.
Yeah, same active drug, potentially different prices.
So think about this. What does that level of hypergranularity driven by PBM negotiations and discounts actually do to the decision-making process? When your doctor is choosing a medication, How much is their clinical judgment potentially influenced by whether a generic is preferred versus non-preferred on your specific complex formulary? And ultimately, what does that mean for the cost burden that lands back on you, the patient?
It's a complicated interaction between clinical need, pharmacy economics, and patient costs. Something worth thinking about next time you review your benefits.
Definitely something to mull over. Thanks for breaking that all down.
Happy to help.